Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Our guest today, Nicole Conselmo. Nicole, thank you for being here. I really appreciate you coming on. And can you tell us, first of all, where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Alcoa?
Yeah. Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me. So I'm Nicole Conselmo. I'm one of the co-founders of Alcoa Beauty. Alcoa is clean curl care for hermanas everywhere, for sisters, inspired by the beauty of my home country, the Dominican Republic. So the business was founded by my sister and I, and that's why for us, we call our community hermanas, which means sisters in Spanish. And we really wanted to bring more of our heritage to our brand and to curly hair care.
That's amazing. And what was kind of your big, I suppose, kind of your catalyst or something you noticed out there in the market that you wanted to do a little bit differently or better with this brand than what currently existed out there?
Yeah. So for us, it was really a personal transformation that led us to start the business. So I'm going to give you the summary, but it's a long story.
Sure.
So we grew up in the Dominican Republic, where you may not be familiar, but in the Caribbean, in Latin America, curly hair is actually referred as pelo malo, which translates to bad hair. So for us, like, we grew up with around this mentality that our curly hair was not beautiful. And like, all we knew was going to the hair salon with our mom to get a blowout or get our hair straightened to go to like different events or like professional things. That was the way that we felt beautiful, was with our hair being straight. And that's all we knew, which is like terrible, because we're in the Caribbean, it's always hot and like humidity, but like, we were literally fighting our curly hair growing up. And then fast forward, we moved to the US about 20 years ago. We are learning a new culture, learning a new language, assimilating to, you know, a new country, basically. And then throughout that time, we also discovered the flat iron, which, for people who use it like us, we were using it at like the highest degree possible, like 450 degrees. It's really bad for your hair. It costs a lot of heat damage. So we really, really damage our naturally curly hair, our natural texture. And then from there, we kind of had this like lifestyle change, this transformation, like with personal care products, like started with our hair care, like deodorant, all these things that we were using. We got really curious about the ingredients that were in those products. So through this, like, the hair care sort of took on another world. It became like this problem for us of not finding great products or ingredients for our hair. And then we got really curious. So actually, my sister, Corey, who's the oldest, we both have a background in business, but she went back to school to learn how to formulate. And stop me if you want to ask me other questions, but this is the summary of the story. So she went back to formulate. So we started to make the base formulas at home. And then from there, we saw that we had something really, really great. And those first formulas actually had ingredients inspired by our home country, the Dominican Republic. So instead of using like shea butter, we used mango butter. Instead of using like heavier oils, we wanted lighter results. So we used sunflower seed oil and avocado oil, which are lighter oils for your hair. And also, we wanted to take like a skincare approach to hair care, because your scalp is really important aspect of hair care and growth. So we really wanted to focus on that. And then, so that was back in like 2018, we started to like dip our toes into like how to formulate. And then from there, we had the idea of like, let's start a business, found manufacturers. We were supposed to launch in 2020, but that didn't happen because of the pandemic. And so we launched in 2021 with one product. And then from there, we saw that there was a big support from the community. People were loving the product. We sort of went back to the drawing board 9 months into the business and decided to rebrand. And we launched Alcoa last year with new products. So now we have a collection of four products.
Yeah, that's amazing. And obviously, you can see from the website, you can obviously buy it direct from you guys. So I guess I'm curious,
yes,
when you started, what was your general kind of go-to-market strategy at that time? Were you looking to do mostly direct to consumers? Were you looking to work with salons and things like that? What was kind of the strategy at the beginning? And if anything's changed to today, I'm curious to hear that as well.
Yeah. So the strategy was D2C only mainly. Again, because we were a pandemic brand, mm-hmm. there was nothing else that we could do. We didn't have a beauty network or connections. We really didn't know a lot of people. We were really just formulating great products that we knew we needed and other people could actually use, because we were the ones testing the product and like we wanted it to be better for us and for the community that we were making it for. So we were DTC mostly, and through a conversation from a mentor, we actually decided to do samples. And that was the best strategy that we could have done, because it was the pandemic. People couldn't really find us anywhere, and they could order the samples on our website directly, and they would just have to pay for the shipping. And then that's how people started to try us out. And we only had styling products at the beginning, and then we were getting feedback like, oh, we would love to have a shampoo and conditioner from you guys to complete the collection. And that's sort of like what took us to the next step of like launching the full collection. But mostly D2C, again, it was sort of naive of us, because we were like, let's use social media, organic growth. And then obviously we know how that has changed now, but I think the strategy with the samples helped us a lot.
You know, that definitely makes sense. And I guess with people that are kind of like subscribers to your product, I don't know if you do subscriptions or not, but subscribers just insofar as they're regularly buying. Has anything surprised you as far as like, you know, the demographic or groups that you find selling direct to consumer? Maybe they're a little different than what you, I mean, obviously the product is made for a specific hair type. But has anything surprised you as far as like maybe like a specific age range that seems to be more popular with or anything like that?
Yeah. So for us, mainly like we knew we wanted to focus on women who wanted to use better hair care, also better ingredients. So we have a very diverse group, but mostly for us is women like 25 to 45. It's like that core group that really loves our products. We're looking for better ingredients, better overall branding, and better representation in curly hair care. It also kind of, the United States is very diverse as well, and we're an East Coast brand. So for us, like the awareness has obviously exploded a little bit more on the East Coast, but we also have a lot of customers from the West Coast in California. So that actually surprised us a little bit, just to see that people in California were loving also our products, and in Texas too. But mainly the East Coast, like Pennsylvania is where we're based, and then New York and Florida as well.
That's amazing. Yeah. And how do you kind of grapple with, I know one kind of pain point, I have so many CPG founders come on the podcast. One of the biggest things we always talk about is obviously shipping costs when you're in New York shipping to California, if you're in, you know, Florida trying to ship to Northern California. How do you kind of grapple with those, like the differences of shipping costs when you do ship that far? What have you kind of have set up or like learned along the way on that side of things?
Well, it's all like a learning experience as we go. We've just gotten a little bit smarter about like the things that we sort of use for like shipping, our packaging, trying to make it more sustainable. We're actually kind of working on improving our packaging to make it a little bit lighter to also help with like the shipping and like making it more compact. It's not only for the shipping, but also for the customer experience overall. We wanted to make it more like easier to dispense. But through that, we also found out that we could kind of, you know, make it more compact to save a little bit more on shipping so people don't have to pay that much. But I think it's just always changing, something that really we can't really control that much other than like our packaging or the things that we use, but we're always trying to improve.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And I guess one other thing I'm curious about as well is obviously you've been pretty much D2C up to this point. Have you had any conversations with any wholesalers? Is that something you're interested in getting into, whether it's you know, beauty salons or like wholesale like grocers or anything like that?
Yeah, so that mm-hmm. has been really important for us through our relationships with curly hairstylists and overall the word of mouth of people saying like, I love these products, I want to take it with me to the salon. So we actually have our products in about 8 curly hair salons across the US, and we're trying to expand that reach, talking to a few distributors and figuring out what's the best next strategy for us. But that's definitely the goal for us in the future, is to be able to grow that and continue to see more diversity and representation at the curly hair salons, which stylists really are asking for it. They really want better products for their curly hair care in the salon.
Yeah, that's awesome. And if you're success selling a direct to consumer, has it kind of helped you to approach those conversations with distributors or maybe salons just to be able to show like, hey, like, listen, we get great feedback from this. People are recurrently buying it. It's something like people really, really love these. I think it's really interesting. I can kind of go one of two ways. A lot of CPG brands obviously start and like want to get into wholesale right away, which kind of fuels mm-hmm. their direct to consumer later, or people that start D2C kind of gives you like the stand on to talk to distributors to be able to get into those realms as well. So I'm always curious to hear people's experiences kind of making that transition for the first time. So
yeah. And so we are in talks with a few retailers as well. That has always been like our goal, Since we launched, we knew that we wanted to be in retail, and that actually kind of drove the decision that we took to rebrand, because we were like, we're really not retail ready the way that we look right now. And we kind of went back to the drawing board. We're like, let's kind of focus on this first. And then now having this awesome brand that also stands out in a shelf, we think, with our colors and our branding overall, and the way that it's like bilingual. So I'm going to just show you this bottle. It's our styling gel. So when
oh,
you
it's
flip
beautiful.
It over,
I love that color. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It's also in Spanish. Everything's in Spanish when you flip it over. So for us, it was really important to stand out when we were building the brand, as we kind of learned more about the industry. So for us, that's always been the goal, to eventually see our collection in a retail shelf.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. And I just want to ask you a little bit more about the product. So obviously, you know, trying to use better ingredients, stay away from the harsh chemicals that can damage your hair in the same way using a really high heat flat irons can and things like that. So could you tell me a little bit about the specific ingredients that go into the products that you make that are maybe a little bit different than what you might typically find from like a just random like grocery store shampoo?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, for us, it was really important to take that skincare approach to scalp care. So like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the ingredients that we use are not commonly found in hair care. It's mostly found in skincare, but obviously your scalp is part of your skin. So you should be really taking care of it with ingredients that are gentle enough and good and nourishing to promote that hair growth. So for our shampoo, we wanted to incorporate a lot of cleansing and like detoxifying ingredients like apple cider vinegar. Our surfactant is actually made out of apples, so it's very natural. We also have rosemary leaf extract, which is really, really great to promote hair growth. For our conditioner, we really wanted a conditioner that would really hydrate your hair and make it really easy to detangle with great slip. That was feedback that we got directly from our customers when we were making the conditioner. They were like, we really want a conditioner that really gives you great slip when you're detangling. So that's something that we wanted to focus on. So we use sunflower seed oil, avocado oil, really great oils to really give that shine when you're also detangling. And then our curl cream and our styling gel, which were the first two that we launched, we use mango butter, hibiscus flower. For our gel, it's actually a flaxseed gel. So we really wanted to make it easy for people to be able to use this great ingredient, which is flaxseed. A lot of people do like their own DIY, but that takes a long time. So we really wanted to make a really great medium hold gel that would help you, and also make it not like a sticky drying gel like everything that's in the market. It's actually like a really smooth formula that actually feels good on your hands when you're putting it on, as well as on your hair. It's really hydrating and gives you amazing shine. So for us, it was important to just make it different and also stay away from ingredients that are not really great for hair care. We actually don't use coconut oil in our products. They're gluten, vegan, free of any sulfates, parabens, silicones. And we also use a natural fragrance, which is something that we really wanted to make sure that we use as well.
You know, it's amazing. And I think it's another kind of unique advantage for a lot of the, you know, brands that were founded during COVID or right after COVID, going D2C first, is being able to get all that great direct customer interaction and feedback as well. Because, you know, things being on store shelves, it's not always easy to get direct feedback from, you know, the grocers, because they're not really going to get any of the direct feedback, and people writing in or something from those kind of purchases, you don't always get the most feedback. So I think it's a great thing that you're doing to be able to kind of do that R&D and get so much feedback before you actually go and have those conversations with retailers. I think it really sets you up for a lot of success there, which is
awesome.
Thank
you.
Yeah. And then I guess one thing I always like to ask too, when, you know, brands are trying to do things, you know, a little bit differently, sustainably, natural ingredients. Did you have any difficulties trying to find like a manufacturer to do this, you know, unique blend? I know that's always a challenge when things are trying to be made sustainably or, you know, with natural ingredients. It's not always the easiest conversations or the least expensive too. It's usually a little added cost there. So could tell me a little bit about your journey there, like trying to find a manufacturer to work with.
Oh yes, that's also a very interesting story. And even the fact that, like, if you're not really in this beauty network, you're starting from zero. Like, you have no contacts, you have to go to Google University, and that's what we did, and start reaching out to people. So actually we had an initial manufacturer that we were working with when we were, you know, thinking that we were going to launch with this big collection at the beginning. And then we kind of had to hone back and step back and sort of start over. And they had an incident at their facility. So we had to stop everything in 2019 and we couldn't use them again. Like, we lost the chemist that we were working with. So we basically had to start over and look for another manufacturer. And this manufacturer was very local. Like, we were like, let's go to them. We knew where they were. Like, we had heard of them. And then from then, we had to go start Googling. And I think what my sister actually, Corey, did was she found a manufacturer that was great, but we didn't know anybody there. So like, how do you contact these people? That's like the first thing. It's like, it's not really an easy process if you're not a big name. Like, what did you say? Like, I have these formulas. I want to talk to you. I want to work with you. And so thankfully, she really got curious and kind of started to look into LinkedIn on how she could connect with somebody that worked at this manufacturer. And she found a mutual connection. And through that mutual connection is how we were able to get in contact with somebody to take our calls, because she was calling people, emailing, and nobody would get back to her. But you really have to be persistent. And I think I would say, like, look for your network and see who can help you to find those manufacturers that can take your product to the next level. But for us, it was truly through relationships, which really shows the power of your network and how important it is to always be connected to your community and to people who may introduce you to the next person that can help you to for your next project.
You know, so true. I think it's such good advice for anybody listening. A lot of people that listen to the podcast that have come on the podcast or other entrepreneurs in the CPG space too. I know it's something people grapple with, especially early on. So I appreciate you sharing your perspective on that. And Nicole, one question I always love to ask everybody that comes on the podcast, if you listen to any of mine, you'll see that I do always ask this question, which is, you know, if you could go back and start this business again. I know you kind of got started in 2019, you know, restarted in 2021, then did a rebrand. So, you know, I guess since 2019, you know, everything you've learned since then, if you could go back and give yourself any one piece of advice, if you were to start this business again, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
There's a lot of things, but I think the one thing that I would say that we learned over the course of those years is be yourself and don't try to don't focus on the competition, focus on improving you and being you and bringing your own authenticity to whatever that you do. For us, like, bringing Okoa to the world and to life was really a process of us going back to our roots and our heritage and our own authenticity and be able to showcase that and really go back to like our roots in the Dominican Republic and showcase that through the name. Actually, Okoa is our mom's hometown in the Dominican Republic, and it's a Taíno word. So it's a native language, and it means a place between mountains. Like, nobody speaks Taíno anymore, but there's still a few words that you can find that are like come from that language. And actually, that town is one of those words. So we decided to go back to that, our mom's sort of legacy, and use that as the name. And now when people hear the story and the brand and the name, they're really connected to it, because for us, it's really personal. It's a family business. And we really wanted to showcase this authenticity that we were hiding at the beginning when we kind of launched the first time, and sort of see that now that like we've been able to showcase that and bring that to the front of everything that we do, really people are connecting to it even more. So I think always be yourself, be authentic, and don't try to like copy others, because that's just never going to take you further. Always being yourself will take you a lot future, kind of grow everything that you do.
You know, I think that's really good advice again. And I think, you know, remembering that why behind what you're doing, and if you can incorporate into that, into everything you're doing, I think it just resonates. I mean, you can't miss it. These are like the kind of like, you know, humanistic levels of interaction. Yeah. Like, you can see that in a brand easily, even if it is online. Yes. You go to somebody's website, you learn a little bit about the founder and you see what it's all about. Like, you get that right away. So I can definitely see that through your site and just the way that you talk about the brand. So I really appreciate that perspective and your passion for what you're doing. And Dan, Nicole, I just want to say thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate your time today. And I just want to give you a quick opportunity as well for anybody listening might be interested in maybe trying your product or maybe getting in touch with you for a potential business partnership or anything like that. What's the best way to stay in touch with you all?
Yeah, so you can find us at okoabeauty.com, and on social, we're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, Okoa Beauty. You can always feel free to reach out through email. It's hola@okoabeauty.com. We're on all the platforms, so feel free to reach out. And another thing is that people can try our products through our free samples, so they can check them out on our website.
Awesome. Well, Nicole, I just want to say thank you again for coming on. I appreciate all you're doing. I just want to wish you the best of luck and continued success in everything you're doing. And I really look forward to staying in touch as well. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Nicole. Thanks, everybody.